and heading across the snow as straight as a searchlight. A necromancer, said Rincewind. The old woman across the fire shrugged and pulled a pack of greasy cards from some unseen pocket. Despite the deep frost outside, the atmosphere inside the yurt was like a blacksmith's armpit, and the wizard was already sweating heavily. Horse dung made a good fuel, but the horse people had a lot to learn about air conditioning, starting with what it meant. Behan leaned sideways.
"What's necromance?" she whispered. "Necromancy. Talking to the dead," he explained.
"Oh," she said, vaguely disappointed.
They had dined on horse meat, horse cheese, horse black pudding, horse d'oeuvres, and a thin beer that Rincewind didn't want to speculate about. Cohen, who'd had horse soup, explained that the horse tribes of the Hubland Steppes were born in the saddle, which Rincewind considered was a gynecological impossibility. And they were particularly adept at natural magic, since life on the open steppe makes you realize how neatly the sky fits the land all around the edges, and this naturally inspires the mind to deep thoughts like, why? When? And why don't we try beef for a change? The chieftain's grandmother nodded at Rincewind and spread the cards in front of her. Rincewind, as it has already been noted, was the worst wizard on the disc. No other spells would stay in his mind once the spell had lodged in there, in much the same way that fish don't hang around in a pike pool. But he still had his pride, and wizards don't like to see women perform even simple magic. Unseen University had never admitted women, muttering something about problems with the plumbing. But the real reason was an unspoken dread that if women were allowed to mess around with magic, they would probably be embarrassingly good at it.
"Anyway, I don't believe in Karok cards," he muttered. "All that stuff about it being the distilled wisdom of the universe is a load of rubbish."
The first card, smoke-yellowed and age-crinkled, was... it should have been the star. But instead of the familiar round disc with crude little rays, it had become a tiny red dot. The old woman muttered and scratched at the card with a fingernail, then looked sharply at Rincewind.
"Nothing to do with me," he said.
She turned up the importance of washing the hands, the eight of octagrams, the dome of the sky, the pool of night, the four of elephants, the ace of turtles, and Rincewind had been expecting it. Death. And something was wrong with death, too. It should have been a fairly realistic drawing of death on his white horse, and indeed he was still there, but the sky was red-lit. And coming over a distant hill was a tiny figure, barely visible by the light of the horse-fat lamps. Rincewind didn't have to identify it, because behind it was a box on hundreds of little legs. The luggage would follow its owner anywhere. Rincewind looked across the tent to Twoflower, a pale shape on a pile of horse hides.
"He's really dead," he said.
Cohen translated for the old woman, who shook her head. She reached down to a small wooden chest beside her and rummaged around in a collection of bags and bottles until she found a tiny green bottle which she tipped into Rincewind's beer. He looked at it suspiciously.
"She says it's a sort of medicine," said Cohen. "I should drink it if I were you. These people get a bit upset if you don't accept hospitality."
"It's not going to blow my head off," said Rincewind.
"She says it's essential you drink it."
"Well, if you're sure it's okay... it can't make the beer taste any worse."
He took a swig, aware of all eyes on him.
"Mmm," he said. "Actually, it's not at all bad."
Something picked him up and threw him into the air, except that in another sense he was still sitting by the fire. He could see himself there, a dwindling figure in the circle of firelight that was rapidly getting smaller. The toy figures around it were looking intently at his body, except for the old woman. She was looking right up at him and grinning. The Circle C's senior wizards were not grinning at all. They were becoming aware that they were confronted with something entirely new and fearsome. A young man on the make. Actually, none of them were quite sure how old Trumon really was, but his sparse hair was still black, and his skin had a waxy look to it that could be taken in a poor light to be the bloom of youth.